sorry.
Your place is very loud tonight.
No, my place is always loud.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I can't hear you over the traffic. Or the coming traffic. Through your the apartment. Air,
the broken fan.
It's hot today. We have to have the fan on. It got to 117.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. Really? Absolutely.
That means it's probably at least 132 in my apartment. Because I don't have air.
I like that you really have a like formula.
So how I judge how warm it is in the apartment is whether or not my coconut oil is in a solid state. If I come out of the bathroom and see it's melted, I'm like, oh shit, it's going to be a warm one today. Better put on some shorts.
Isn't that better though if it's nice and melted? Then you can put
for
it
the
in
coconut
your...
oil, yeah. Just for the general living environment,
right?
It's probably not the best.
Okay.
Like, okay. we will probably have a heat stroke while we sleep tonight.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I hope not, because we have a pretty big evening tomorrow.
And also because you get very upset when you wake up warm, as we have experienced, unfortunately. That was the one time where I was like, I'm not even going to say anything. I'm not going to speak to you.
Either.
I didn't, because
quiet.
You were in a mood.
I was half asleep, and I'd been woken up. It was
we went to bed very early. You woke up of your own accord because you were warm.
But
you were like mad at me. Do you remember?
I wasn't mad at you.
You were like, where did you put... No, you were
no,
mad at
I
me
because
you couldn't find the remote. And you
for
blamed
the air
me.
Conditioner.
Yeah, and you said, well, you were the last one that had it.
That's
and this is like midnight.
True.
And I didn't even answer you. I was like, uh-huh.
Listen, I'm going to do a really subtle shift in topic here.
Well, how about we just say this is episode 4.
Okay. I'm glad. Yep.
How about we actually start?
Were we doing something?
I think we're supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. Man. No, I was listening on my drive over here, which took an obscenely long time because all the stoplights were out. I'm assuming because they burst into flames.
It's so hot, yeah.
I was listening to The Dollop, one of my favorite podcasts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the podcast that we first connected over, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something about a witch. I don't remember the exact title of the episode, but they were talking about how when this girl was young, she would draw these really macabre things, and her teachers eventually kicked her out of school because of it. And it made me recall the fact that when I was growing up in grade school, my favorite thing to draw in class on tests, because I would always finish early, was a severed head with a machete through the skull and one eyeball hanging out. And I don't know for the life of me how my teachers were just like, oh, quite the artist.
Oh, quite. Is that a real story?
That's a real story. And I'd make sure there were lots of like guts and spine hanging out of the severed neck. And
oh,
it was.
Yeah, but you didn't like, you kind of grew up and like, no offense, but I feel like all of the kids were drawing stuff like that.
What?
You grew up in like the cuts. There's nothing to do but draw severed heads. Also, can you imagine if you did that today? You would get yanked out of class so hard.
Oh, absolutely.
Thrown into
different
like a bunch
time.
Of psychologists. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You would be like expelled from the school for sure.
Did you ever draw really twisted things when you
no.
were a kid?
No. Nope. Not even a little bit.
Okay.
I probably drew like hearts and cute little things. No severed heads.
Would you put like Marissa loves Richard?
Well, not then, because I didn't know you, but now. No, it's all over my notebook that I use now. I'm just trying
That's
not
really
to
cute.
Show you.
That's
yeah.
really cute.
I don't
Ugh,
guys,
enough,
okay,
enough chatter, my goodness. What
this
do you
is,
got?
This is Shadows on the Wall, for those of you new. You haven't introduced it at all. Go ahead, tell us, what is this podcast about?
We never do this.
We do, we always say this is episode 2 of Shadows on the Wall, great story podcast.
We always say this is episode 2?
Yeah, it's getting really weird. That's why I'm saying I'm trying to establish this is 4.
Okay, that's fair. This is Shadows on the Wall. We are a
Shadows on the Wall.
You know what?
If you're gonna do it right. It's so hot.
It's very warm.
Turn the fan on.
Very crabby. This is a scary story podcast told from the comfort of our bed.
I wouldn't say comfort tonight, but from the
yeah,
bed,
from the
very
sweat
warm
puddles of our bed.
Ooh,
you don't like that?
That's gross.
Well, don't come to the side
it's
of the
accurate.
Bed then.
It's
yeah,
accurate, but.
Yeah, so do you want to kick us off with your story?
Yeah, so I'm going to go first because mine's very short.
Excellent.
So let's just get out of the way.
Okay.
But I'm going to preface this by saying we are going to go see one of my favorite movies.
One of our favorite movies.
Well, you like the other one. I'm just saying this is probably my favorite Alfred Hitchcock film.
Well, what's funny, and I just want to touch on this really quickly because I know we've chatted for a bit up front already, but our first date, first time meeting, we ended up...
It was like more than 3 hours, so yeah, we covered exactly. A lot of
we
topics. Said,
but what I think the big thing we talked about, the two big things were podcasts and our love Alfred of Hitchcock. Alfred Hitchcock, yeah. Totally. So I'm so excited that we're seeing...
Rear Window.
Rear Window tomorrow night mm-hmm. in the park.
In the park, yep. And I also chose a story because we had watched Stop Reading My Story.
I'm sorry.
You do it
I'm
every sorry. Time. You try to get a little glance at what it's going to be about. I'm literally I'm so about excited. To tell you the story. You cannot help yourself.
Okay. Okay.
Do I have I'm to sorry. Hold this I'm up like we're shut taking my a
eyes.
Test?
Go ahead. I'm swear, here. And my eyes are shut.
Swear to God. What I was going to say mm-hmm. is because we were watching The Burbs. Oh, to me, yeah. holds up.
Absolutely.
That movie holds up. But this is the story mm-hmm. of the Westfield Watcher. So it really ties in with both of The Burbs and Rear Window. And no one gets murdered. What?
Whoa.
Crushing it.
Did you feel a little let down when you were writing
oh, yeah.
the story?
I think it's super boring and I'm a little disappointed. I mean, it's like an interesting...
You know, just...
I don't know. You tell yeah. me. You're going to tell me.
Get into it.
But I've done too many murders, so I was like... And last week was really heavy.
Last week was rough.
Yeah.
I honestly did not sleep that night.
No, I needed a little break. So I was like, how about one where no one dies?
We talked about one, your story for maybe an hour or so afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just very
And you were like, okay, that's cool. And I'd be like, but wait, this one other thing. Let me tell you how else. Oh, We went down a dark hole.
I'm looking forward to this one.
So we're going to lighten the mood a touch.
Westfield Watcher.
The Westfield Watcher. So I got lots of my info from truecrimeguy.com.
That's wow. Like I really promoted the hell out of that one.
NJ.com. That one. And the Washington Post.
The Washington Post is very passe.
Anyway, here we go. Oh, that's what I didn't do. Look up how to say anyone's name.
Oof.
Okay, it's fine. So, John and Andrea Woods. I didn't look that one up. That's not. Woods. I'm a writer, not a reader. So, John and Andrea Woods were looking to sell their suburban home in New Jersey so that they could retire to Massachusetts. And Derek and Maria, I'm going to call him Brodus. Yeah. Brodus were looking to buy a home in the suburbs that they could raise their three children in.
Works out.
So, seems like it works out.
Mm-hmm.
So in June...
I just imagine your story is just about a real estate transaction.
Oh, that's all this is. Yeah. Is it not supposed to be? Yeah.
No, that's great.
Talking about, you know, just mortgage rates and, mm-hmm. you know. So in June of 2014, the Brodus family purchased the 6-bedroom home.
Ooh.
Yeah, from the Woods for $1.3 million.
Damn.
Can you imagine a 6-bedroom home in Los Angeles?
Nope.
Would not be $1.3 million.
A studio, maybe.
Yeah, right. So it was seemingly perfect. It was very welcoming. It had tons of windows for natural light. It was in a good neighborhood, and it was sitting on a half acre of land.
Okay.
So it's like the perfect place
I'm into
to raise
it.
All your kids.
Absolutely.
So excitedly, they start moving furniture in, and they began $100,000 in renovations. Why are you laughing?
I love the way you tell stories. It's just like, excitedly, they start moving furniture
in. Because they're pumped on this house,
they're
man.
Just like, get that chair in, woo woo, let's do it.
You know what?
I love it. I'm into it.
Thank you. So 3 days after purchasing their dream home, the Brodus family received a letter in the mail. Oh, that's nice. Oh, welcome. Oh, welcome letter. Part of the letter is as follows. Are you ready?
Oh, I like that you cleared your throat.
Thank you. I'm doing accent.
Not a reader. Come on.
So it says, my grandfather watched the house in the 1920s, and my father watched in the 1960s. It is now my time. Signed, The Watcher.
What?
Yep.
What? Wait, yep. Okay, hang on. Because yep. I'm not, like, creeped out just yet. Nope. It's eerie, but yeah. Wait. So, is there something special about this house that makes these people supposedly watch it? Like, what are they watching?
You are mad jumping the gun, bro.
Ah, sorry.
It's the first letter.
My bad.
First line, first letter.
My bad.
No, but exactly that. It was, like, so random and weird that the couple brushed it off, right? Like, okay, what do you... Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, like, the weirdest letter. What Absolutely. Does that even mean, right? So they're like, whatever, we're just going to go about our $100,000 renovations. Yeah, right over there?
I had to make a little adjustment. It's very warm.
Are you comfy now?
It's a lot of stuff happening.
There's stuff that's very hot. Oh, okay.
Thanks also, for calling me out.
You're welcome. That's what I do.
Do you stink?
No, but I tried that natural deodorant and I got it in the mail today. So I do. It was the worst fucking day to try it.
You want me to smell you real quick?
Maybe after you tell me your story and I'm like sweaty. Okay. Tell me if it works.
You're saving the good stuff for me.
So about a month later, another letter came from the watcher. This one much more sinister.
Okay.
It read, I am pleased to know your names now and the names of the young blood you have brought to me.
Oh, fuck.
So let it be known, the family has yet to actually move into the house.
Wait, where are the letters going?
To the house. They're not living there yet. They're like bringing in, they're like slowly moving in.
But the other family's
moved
out.
They're like fixing stuff. The other family's out. So the watcher, though, knows that they have children, has been in the area, you know what I mean? Knows they have kids, and claims to know the family's name. The second letter also said, who has the bedrooms facing the street? I'll know as soon as you move in. It will help me to know who is in which bedroom that I can plan better.
Plan better?
Yep. No, thank you.
Wow.
Super creepy,
yep,
right?
That one would not just be a brush off.
Yeah, and I have a note here that says, that's the kind of shit that happens when you move to Jersey.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, fair point.
So obviously, the couple is freaked out now. The letter is definitely darker in nature, but before they can even try to like wrap their head around the situation, a third letter arrives in July. This one talked a little bit more about the house itself. It was referencing the doors and windows, saying, they allow me to watch you and track you as you move through the house.
What?
Mm-hmm. It also says, I watch and wait for the day the young blood will be mine again.
That's
who
like,
am I? I am the watcher. So creepy.
First of all, it's like a fucking movie.
So creepy.
Second, that's like crazy cult shit. Like,
yeah, and even though it's not like specific like threats,
yeah,
there's no way.
Are they not going to the police?
Okay, well, we'll get into it.
Okay.
But I mean, these letters are just coming like back to back, right?
Fuck.
So I
Do you know if they're handwritten or if they're typed? Do they say?
I don't know. I think they're handwritten. No, okay. They're definitely handwritten. Yeah, because I got stuff later about that.
Okay. That makes it so much creepier.
Yeah, it does. So I said the fun doesn't end there. One of the watcher's
like
letters
you ran little
said,
asides in
I
your
do,
notes.
I do.
Yeah.
So one of the letters says, have they found what is in the walls yet? In time, they will. Have you found all the secrets it holds? Will the young bloods play in the basement? Nope. You have changed it and made it so fancy. It cries for the past and what used to be in the time when I roamed its halls. When I ran from room to room, imagining the life with the rich occupants there.
What?
Yeah, it's getting fucking weird.
Is this a ghost?
Yeah, that's what... Yep, guessed it.
Ugh.
That's how it ends. It's a ghost. So, if that's not bad enough, the letters also started referencing the children, saying, this is the part that, like, oh, this is the part that gets me. Once I know their names, I will call to them and draw them out to me.
Okay.
So, one of the letters also says, I asked the prior owners to bring me young blood. So at this point, they've gotten multiple letters from the watcher, sometimes twice in 1 month. And from that letter, they're like, wait a minute, did the people who sold us the house...
Yeah, fuck them over.
...also
yeah.
get similar letters?
Yeah.
So a year, they don't move into the house, right?
They don't move
in. They don't move in. They're afraid for their children. Well, yeah,
smart move.
So a year after trying to sell the house that no one would buy, the Brodus family files a lawsuit against the Woods, saying that they withheld information from them. The Woods, of course, countersue, saying the Brodus family is causing them public embarrassment, and this is my favorite part, emotional distress. Yeah, as if, like, the creepy stalker letters, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Emotional distress for the other people. However, it does come out in court that the Woods family did receive an anonymous letter before the deal went through, but they say it wasn't from anyone who calls themselves the Watcher and that it was in no way disturbing. But I couldn't find that letter.
But just one letter?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we got like this little letter, sure, but it wasn't like sinister. I feel like you're lying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I can... I'm very invested now. Go on.
You look pretty warm.
Yep, yep.
So basically, the Brodus family want their money back, and the Woods say no.
Okay.
So I think the Brodus family, like, tried to make it work. So they even applied for permits to demolish the home and build two separate houses on the land, and the fucking city of Westfield said no.
Wait, what was their hope, though, that he wouldn't know which house they were in? Or just
well, because the letters, I think, referenced the house so much, and you've changed it so much, they're like, we're just going to fucking knock it down.
Like, that is the watch worst thing you can do.
You got to do something.
I guess.
They've also are stuck with this $1 million home.
Yeah, why isn't it selling?
Maybe it's like, I don't know, people know about it. You have to, I think, though, you have to tell people about stuff like this now. You can't. They would have to tell people, oh, by the way, it's got, like, great natural light, but also there's someone,
who watches
a watcher. Yeah, there's a guy outside that's just going to be looking in. So they turned all the letters over to the police, who were able to pull DNA off one of the letters. It's been identified as belonging to an unknown female.
Whoa!
Your face! You look twist. So surprised. Yeah.
I'm kind of into it
yeah.
now.
Yeah, oh, of course you are. Creepy woman. So the Brodus's also get help from an FBI profiler who examined the letters and was of the opinion that the writing was likely done by an older person.
Okay.
So an older woman.
Interesting.
The DNA did not match Mrs. Woods, the previous owner, and it was also discovered that the letters had been postmarked from Kearney, which is about 19 miles from Westfield.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The home was empty for 2 years. In February of 2017, a renter moved into the Westfield home and just days later received a letter containing, quote, specific threats.
Like what?
Can't find that letter either.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the end. Oh, no, it's not. Ready? There's a little. Now, of course, a bunch of production companies are trying to seal the deal on movie rights.
You are doing a lot of notebook flapping.
Notebook flapping. That was just the last bit. You mean page turning?
Yeah, what, do you got to turn your pages?
God, sorry, I'm a loser. Who writes stuff anymore?
That's the Watcher does, apparently.
Isn't that creepy, though?
So an older woman?
But that makes sense if she was talking about, like, was it someone that lived there? And she's, like, talking about, like, you know, roaming the halls and stuff and that the home's being changed too much. Maybe it's some fucking psycho's childhood home and
yeah, but
I don't know.
I mean, even before you said it was a woman, or before they assumed it was a woman, a big part of me was like, I just fucking move in and watch them watching me. Like, it's clearly one
that
dude.
Seems like a worst idea.
I mean, they're not making...
Come on, kids. Everyone take a window. Everyone take one side of the house, and we're going to set up shop.
Well, no. I mean, he was referencing the front of the house, so I would assume... I'm still thinking he was a he.
But still an acre of... Or a half acre of
a
land.
A half acre. But then, I don't know. I mean, nothing.
You would still move in with. Okay, so I didn't tell you. These are very young children.
That's fine. I'm not.
That's fine. He can have. She can have the kids.
Yeah, we've got
That's
multiple.
That's not what
for
I'm worried
reason.
About. Oh my god.
No, but I think that you know. Maybe you move in without the kids being there at first. But
are you gonna move? Where are the kids gonna be?
They'll stay with my wife, with whomever. They can stay
You're
with your grandparents.
Moving into the home. By yourself,
yeah.
Leaving.
I'm not forever. I'm saying until I can establish who this person is. If I see them seeing me, I'll be able to better assess the situation and maybe, you know, take some fucking action.
Oh my god!
But what I'm saying is that it sounds like it's one person who is clearly disturbed, and the Woods live there for however long without there being any murder attempts or anything like that.
So,
to me, it sounds like just a creep who gets off on threats.
Okay, that's fine, though, but still, would you... Eventually, you're going to have to make a decision that you're either going to live there or you're not going to live there.
Right.
And so, if you think it's just someone making threats, so you're still going to have your kids, like, walking to the school bus, even if, you know, someone is just watching them?
I mean, are the cops not in play at all with this?
They
we
can't
not
find
set up
the
a
person.
Sting? I feel like there's a lot of solutions that aren't being talked about.
This person is covering their
tracks.
Would
you not? Okay, so let's say you and I buy this house.
Why are we living in Jersey?
Okay, so not the point, darling.
Darling.
And before we have kids or even post kids, after we have kids, would you not go there with me to try and figure out who this person is?
Where will
they would go with your grandparents. For a week while we went to the house.
Three kids? That's asking a lot.
Did you say three kids?
Well, the story has three kids.
Oh, we are capping it at two.
Okay, we still have one extra, and they have the other one, so I guess that's fine. Just more than one. No, it's too creepy. There's no fucking way I'd go spend the night in that house. There's
no way. We're not
going to
sleep. We're going to
watch
the watcher. We're going to turn the fucking tables.
Nope.
And we're going to send him or her a fucking letter and be like, oh, we're watching
you. Just have
it
sitting in the mailbox so when it comes.
Exactly.
No, there's nothing like threatening about the letters themselves, but it's just too weird and I wouldn't feel
Do you think if you just stopped opening them and just put return to sender on every one, it would really piss her off? Like the letters just...
But they're obviously not coming from this woman's home, because then they'd know exactly who it is.
That's a fair point.
You're like, boom, problem solved.
Problem solved. Anyone think to look at the return address?
Send me your unsolved mysteries, guys.
All right, you want to take the take the mic here?
I mean, do you want me to take the mic?
Yeah, try not to scratch your nail against the back.
I cut my nails. Thanks for noticing.
That was delicious. Hey guys, we're going to take a really quick break to tell you how you can get access to more than 500 horror movies and shows for free. Nothing, nada, zippo, zilch.
Okay, that's right. We're talking about Screambox, a 100% fan-focused horror streaming service that you can view on your phone, Roku, Apple TV.
Or laptop, like we've been doing in bed.
Yep, we've been working our way through the Backyard Butchers category.
That's what's so cool about it. You select your main genre, supernatural, killers, monsters, etc. Then it takes you to subgenres like zombies, slashers, or home invasion movies, which I know you love.
Mm-hmm. It makes finding what you want to watch super easy. You can check out trailers, add movies to your queue, or just start watching. And right now, if you head to SOTWpodcast.com and sign up for our email list, you'll get access to a special 30-day trial. Absolutely free.
That's right. So go to SOTWpodcast.com, sign up, check out Screambox, and let us know what you like. Let us know what we should be watching.
Okay. Back to our stories.
So, my story.
Mm-hmm.
Took a little twist when I was doing the research, I have to say. Now, I wanted to do something set in Griffith Park, which we will talk about, but that's where the movie is playing tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rear Window.
So, before I begin, you should know that Griffith Park is cursed.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. The 4,000-plus acres of the massive untamed park in the middle of Los Angeles originally belonged to the Felices, who you might know from Los Feliz. Or Los Feliz, depending on who you ask, which is the neighborhood where a large part of the park is located. This, strangely enough, is not our story. So I'm only going to say that when Don Antonio Feliz was dying, there was apparently some shady business from
Don Antonio?
From Don Antonio Coronel, who ended up, a lot of Don Antonios, who ended up inheriting the land instead of Feliz's 17-year-old blind niece, Dona Petronilla, double L.
So you didn't look up your names either. Wait, so it went to the dude instead of the chick?
Some dude who wasn't shocking. Related. And she,
shocking.
She wasn't happy.
No, no.
So she cursed the land.
Yeah.
And then...
right on, yeah. Good. And she's fucking blind, too. Poor girl. Give her a goddamn land.
And then... I was going to make a really bad joke, I won't.
Good job. Brush him right past. Power through.
So she cursed the land and then dropped dead to put the nail in the coffin of the curse.
Jesus.
Which is a crazy story, and we may tell it in full at some point because it is pretty wicked, leading to the death of the men involved in a very seedy land grab. But that is neither here nor there for tonight's tale. I just wanted you to know that at the root of all of the insane tales that haunt Griffith Park, there are several, there is a curse. Our tale tonight is The Woman in White, a bride who died in the park. Normally, I tell you her story. I tell you how she and her husband had stopped in Griffith Park in the early 1900s to stretch their legs after a long trip, how a stranger approached, demanded money, and murdered her husband before chasing her through the woods, hunting her down, and ending her life.
Nope.
That's it. That's my story.
That's it. Good job.
But, and you're going to laugh at me and call me a nerd. I know, but I was at a game night the other night. I wrote down, please don't make fun of me.
I will.
with some friends. I was chatting about this story, getting a feel of the legend from those who lived in LA their whole lives.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
You hate board games.
Yeah, board games fucking suck.
Okay. when this girl I did not know at all started crying. She wasn't sobbing, like that kind of crying, but I could see in her that her eyes were tearing up, and as soon as I asked if she was okay, she sort of choked on her own words as she affirmed, clearly lying, that she was. So I pushed a little bit because I'm an asshole. And apparently she had had an experience with the woman in white that haunts her to this day. And, I mean, she was saying this as she was, like, breaking down. So I thought that it would be more fun to tell her story about the woman in white than the woman in white herself.
Okay.
Because it makes it a ghost story rather than a murder story.
I gotcha.
Thanks. Okay, so I'm going to change her name. We're going to call her Abby. Abby is a normal young woman, mid-20s, with strawberry blonde hair and a lot of freckles. She was very into improv and was actually hanging out with her improv troupe, Partially Sexy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's all... Okay. So it was Abby...
A lot of problems with the story already, but go ahead.
It was Abby and her two guy friends, who we'll call Mac and Ben. For those of you who don't know, Griffith Park is enormous, and once you're in, you're kind of cut off from the rest of LA. The park is absolutely huge and expands up the massive hills behind it that are surrounding Hollywood, so they seem to go on forever. Within it, there is an abandoned zoo, an old merry-go-round, some playgrounds, and multiple picnic areas, as well as other stuff, like ghosts. So Abby and her Partially Sexy crew, don't drop that mic.
I almost just did.
We're going over some skits they had coming up and practicing their improv games in the park.
What?
It's always nice in LA, so they wanted to get out and enjoy it, is what she said. It started to get dark around 7:30 p.m., and they realized they'd better head out of the park because the park actually closes at sunset. There are little metal arms they put up to keep cars from going in or out of the park, and security patrols it, blah, 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 it doesn't matter. They headed to their cars and said their goodbyes. Mac drove off. I'm changing the tense of,
It's fine.
Mac drove off, but Ben actually calls over to Abby and asked her to chat. You know where this is going. Yeah. Come on, Ben. So they sit in her car, or in his car, and he reveals, lo and behold, that he likes her.
Oh, no. What? Get out of town.
Because guys and girls can never just be friends, apparently. There's always feelings on one side.
Don't say apparently. I think we've proven this multiple times. Let's not bring it up on a podcast.
I put down, Ben, you silly, stupid fool. So he pours his heart out. She does not reciprocate. And now he's caught in the awkward, but why? Breakdown that happens and spirals and it's bad. So Abby listens for a bit, but now it's dark and he's talking in circles and it's embarrassing for everyone. So she gets out of his car and starts back towards her. But Ben chases after her, not maliciously or anything, but just apologizing, or maybe, I don't know, holding a boombox over his head playing In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. You know what movie that's from? Oh, come on. You do?
Yeah. What is Isn't it the young kids? He's standing outside the fucking window. I know. Don't put me on the spot. Okay. You know, I can't remember things. All right.
Anyway, Abby ignores him, moving toward her, it was Say Anything, John Cusack. Doesn't matter.
That's it, yeah.
Moving toward her car, or where she thinks her car is.
How does she not know where her fucking car is?
Well, she does.
God, people are stupid.
But it's not there. Don't scoff at my story, okay? All right, so listen, I'm going to break the fourth wall for just a quick minute here and tell you that at this point, the girl that was telling me the story, Abby, was shaking. Her hands were trembling, and she was saying this, and her boyfriend, who was also there, was telling her to stop and for me to stop asking questions. But but I truly do appreciate this. She said that she wanted to continue, so we went on. Her car was gone. The park was empty and dark. And they had pulled up pretty deep into it, probably a good quarter mile, so they could be a bit louder with their improv and not disturb the birthdays or dates or whatever else was happening in the park. She started to freak out a little bit, but was more angry than scared, like, where the hell is my car? She knew she had parked it there, but it was gone. I mean, she parked it right by Ben and right by Mac. Her first thought was that it was towed, because that happens in the park if it's left there after they close, and she was pissed and blamed Ben for keeping her there past dark. So his offer to drive her around to look for it was met with a grand fuck you. She called the tow company on the sign, or tried to, but her phone wasn't working. I asked who her carrier was, because I figured, like, I wanted to try and get to the root of it, because we all know AT&T is shit out here in LA. But she said it was with Verizon, and it worked earlier, and she was when she was trying to find the guy's location. So at this point, there was an uneasy feeling settling over the pair. She turned to Ben and tells him to drive her out of there and then she'll come back tomorrow to find her car. She just wants to go home. He agrees, but when they turn around, his car is gone too. Vanished. Now, they had walked a little ways to find the tow truck sign for the info. Not that far. Had it been light, they would have still been in sight of Ben's car, and yes, it was dark, but they walked back more than enough to have found his shitty clunker, as she called it. There was nothing. So now they both think something is going on. They're both scared. Abby said her heart was racing and that Ben was no help at all. He was even more scared. They started to fight and to blame each other, but Abby put a stop to it, saying they just needed to get out of the park, get away from the trees that had cut out the lights of the city, back to civilization, and then away from each other. They started walking toward the entrance, again about a quarter mile away. And they walked, silent the entire way, save for their footsteps against the asphalt path. And after about 30 minutes, Ben apparently called out, "Where the fuck is the exit?" Abby hadn't even noticed they'd been walking for so long. She was so consumed with her car and with rage toward her improv teammate. He was right, though. They'd been walking far too long. So Abby looked at her watch. It was 7:35. They left at 7:30. That's what time they started wrapping everything up. She and Ben had talked since then. The cars had disappeared. They'd been walking for at least half an hour. How could it only be 7:35? But she noticed that her watch was not changing over. It was locked. And then she heard Ben say, "Abby, what's that?" Abby looked up and saw in the distance something white against the thick army of black trees. Something catching in the wind like a tattered flag. She squinted but couldn't make it out. Both Abby and Ben were fixed on this thing, leaning forward, straining from frozen stances to try and see what it was. It wasn't moving. It was just there, caught in the darkness. That's when they heard the whisper. "Stay," it said. A gentle female's voice, delicate and pleading, but not from whatever was in front of them, but from behind them. Right behind them. Abby said she took off, bolting forward, dashing head-on toward the white object ahead of her without any forethought, just running. She didn't know where Ben was. In fact, she said it wasn't until she'd reached the tree line that she realized he wasn't with her. She stopped, turned, afraid to call out to him, heart pounding. He was gone, disappeared, just like the cars. Suddenly, something snapped into her peripheral. She jumped. It was a bright fabric caught on the tree, ragged on its edges as if it had been torn. Abby said she slowly approached and realized it was part of a wedding dress, sullied and streamed with rivulets of blood. Blood that was still wet. Abby started crying, both as she was telling me the story and in the story.
Super awkward.
She said she just started sobbing from fear, feeling like she was going to die. She turned around to run, but the park was no longer in sight. It was just woods, just a maze of endless, crooked, gnarled trees catching the wind's wicked hum. She cried out, "Ben, somebody, please help." She heard footsteps crunching on the dead leaves and twigs littering the ground around her. She whipped to the sound, "Ben?" But no one was there. And then, from the corner of her eye, she said she saw black hair dancing on the wind, ribboning on its gentle push. Remember, Abby's blonde. She slowly turned her head.
I thought she was a redhead.
Strawberry blonde. Oh. Oh my gosh. I'm so invested in the story. And this girl, my goodness. The worst every fucking time. She slowly turned her head, seeing the face of a young woman, pale skin streaked with tears and a long white gown, torn and stained. Abby couldn't move, couldn't breathe, couldn't think. The porcelain woman moved to open her mouth to speak, but then, "Hey," voice from behind Abby, park security. She suddenly found herself doused in flashlights and being escorted from the woods, a mere few feet to the main road. Abby said she looked back, the woman was gone, and so was the fabric in the trees. Ben was already waiting in the security car. In security's car. Wow. I am not
good. Also not a reader.
Yeah. Writers don't read. Yeah, we write. Ben was trembling. They were each let off with a warning and brought to their cars, which were there, waiting for them. They haven't talked about it since. And I like that I was like, she's not interrupting me at all. She's not. Like,
because you get so irritated.
But then the one thing you decided to put in there, you're like, wasn't she a redhead?
Because I thought it was important because you were saying she has like freckles and I thought she had red hair. Oh, you can do a better job of holding this.
No, I just got it. I figure your hand might be tired.
It is actually. I tried to balance it a few times. I got you, boo. It's going to fall. So. Yeah.
Hey, good. Now listen, the girl who told me this story is an actress.
Shocking. So, no.
There's a chance.
No. There's a chance that she's full of shit? Yeah.
You have to believe that something happened out there.
Of course. Do I think she saw fucking gowns and blood and two cars disappeared? No fucking way. No fucking way.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow night when we go to Griffith Park.
We will.
And I leave you in that exact spot.
Do it.
I'm gonna take the car.
Taking the car is different than the car.
You won't know.
Disappearing.
You're gonna be like, it's gone.
Then I'm gonna don't say it like that though. It's gone.
That's how you talk.
And she's a fucking improv actress.
Yeah.
She's lying to your face. Well, she wanted to get on the podcast. Mission accomplished.
I still thought it was an interesting story.
No, it is. I just think it's a story. Yeah, it's not like.
Sorry, it's not a true tale of murder.
It needs to be true and someone needs to die, thanks.
Someone did don't die. The woman know? In white. That story is actually true.
That's insane. I want to know more about that.
There's not that much out there.
Is that just kind of it?
I mean, that's kind of, they give so brief sad. Overviews. I know. They stopped just to stretch their legs.
It's like passing through.
And someone tried to rob them.
Aww. Always give it up. Always give them whatever they want.
I mean, jeez. And they said that she ran through the woods and they kind of like hunted her and tortured her.
Oh my God.
But, and now she's there.
And now we watch movies there.
I mean, LA does some weird, I think a lot of places do like the movies in cemeteries though and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, it's pretty twisted, yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
No, I don't.
But, respect the dead.
Yeah, man.
Cool, man. Cool, dude.
I don't know what you want me to say, but I'm not going to argue with you. No, we shouldn't respect the dead. I'm not sure what to add to that.
Okay, well, that does it for our two stories. I feel like it's good. Like, something, nobody really died in ours tonight. I mean, a little bit
of death in my backstory. I mean, that girl was, like, hunted, you just said.
Yeah, in my backstory, not the main story.
Someone still died.
Yeah, but a little lighter than last week.
A little lighter, oh, for sure.
Which I think we needed a good palate cleanser. So, Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone.
It's episode 4.
Of Shadows on the Wall. Shadows on the Wall.
If you were confused, this is not episode 2.
You can check out more of us. More of us? You can see all of us.
Nope, that's not true at all.
On SOTW. You can
learn more about the podcast.
Boring.
Oh my god.
You would just put up the naked pictures I keep
sending. Of you? I know. You? Stop sending me naked photos of yourself for the website.
Very artistic. SOTWpodcast.com. There you will find links to our Instagram, our Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff, as well as our Patreon page. Please make sure to download, review, and comment on our iTunes and Google Play and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add? No? Okay.
Sweet dreams.
I didn't say goodnight.